Oh, hello. I didn't hear you clearly.
Welcome to Writing Back to Happiness. Time Travel, the Journey to Recovery.
Brenna, welcome to Writing Back to Happiness, Time Travel, the
Thank
Journey
you.
To Recovery. It's so exciting to have you come and talk to me. And I look forward to a chat and finding more about you. In fact, Wazir, just to let you know, I will be getting your second book, but I couldn't manage to, I don't know, they've changed things now, how you order stuff and whatever, so it's a bit of a mirror. But I did get a sample, so I read the first four chapters of your second book, and
oh, wow.
I'm loving the fact that it's from, Stella's point of view and not
yes.
Michael's and Audrey's and that. So, yeah, it's really kind of exciting to delve into that side of it now. But,
brilliant. Well, thank you for inviting me along, because I know we've been talking on Facebook for a while now, getting to know each other and talking about the craft of writing, and you know the different approach that we're taking and how to overcome writer's blocks and you know keep yourself focused with all that kind of stuff. So it's great to connect with another writer and see how you're bringing things alive through the podcast as well. It's brilliant.
Thank you. That's the thing. I was so excited to actually another author who loves time travel that I can talk to about it. Because my kids are really good in regards. They love Doctor Who, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. But they love Doctor Who. My wife hates any of that kind of stuff, so I can't really talk to her about it.
Yeah.
And so it's good to have another voice I can talk to about my writing and stuff, and in fact, like, it's real good to be able to do that.
Yeah, to get excited about these things as well, because you're right, it's such a specific genre. It's not even science fiction, but it's time travel within science fiction. It's such a niche category. So when you do find somebody that likes those sorts of storylines and the plots, and they're so wide and versatile, they can be really exciting. But unless you are in that geek zone already, then it's not exciting to the other people. So when you do find that book body that likes the kind of things that you do, it's hold on to them, because it makes reading more exciting when you have somebody to get excited about it with.
Oh, absolutely. And talking about getting excited, my first real question to ask you about is, how did you get excited? When did you start getting excited about, you know, time travel and writing about time travel?
The place I can kind of start it was, I probably was round about the age of 28 or 29. It was, you know, quite late to kind of start a love of reading and a love of books. A lot of people that you will speak to, you know, talk about how they used to read through childhood, but that wasn't really me. I've spoke about it before, but I am dyslexic. So when I was in high school, I failed at secondary school English, and it really it didn't upset me at the time. It bugged me a little bit because I did like the subject of English when we were in the classroom. I enjoyed joining in it, but I knew that I really struggled with technical things and with exams. Like, I could never seem to get a high score. So it wasn't a surprise to me that I failed the exam. But once I was in university, I found out that I was dyslexic, and I got the support and the additional support that I needed. So then it started to annoy me, looking back and thinking, oh my God, I could have passed that exam. I could have actually got a grade for that. And to the back of your mind, I didn't think much of it. And it wasn't until I had my first baby, so he's 12 now, so it would have been 12 years ago, that I just thought, I want to write a book. It was just something that popped into my head. You know, I had started reading slowly over the years, and I just thought that would be a great thing to prove to myself that this was something that I could do. But it wasn't for another 2 years before I actually started taking that seriously. So by this point, I was 30. And I had my second baby, and I just remember going down to the library and having big stacks of books and, coming out,
Aye.
and it was all the how to write, how to, do everything to do with how to write a book, how to publish a book, how to market a book. Oh, it would have been, sorry, all writing books at that point. So I did spend months and months reading those, teaching myself as much as I could, and then reading outside my preferred genre. I fell in love with romance books. That's where
Okay.
I kind of got stuck, and I love that. So I almost always thought of myself as a romance writer.
Right.
But once I had written down the first book, The Accidental Time Traveler, speaks about Michael and Audrey. Once I had their relationship on paper plotted out, I looked at it and I thought, how can I make this romance story more interesting? How can I look at this, a couple on, a sort of coming of age venture and get it a bit exciting? And that's where the time travel ideas really came in. It kind of tapped something in me that I
Aye.
really always enjoyed about, when you look back in your life and sometimes you think, I wonder if I did that differently, or I
Oh, all
wonder
the
if that
time.
happened. Absolutely. And I'm a great believer in if you didn't do the mistake, or if X, Y, and Z didn't happen, then we wouldn't be the people that we are today, and that experience has shaped us. So I always have tried to look on that positive side, but I just love that what if. What if you could change something about your past? Or what if you could change something about somebody else's past? This is where I kind of fell into this kind of a black hole, if you like. What if the person, ever got the opportunity to time travel and they changed something about my life? How would that actually
Yeah.
work, or how would that change? And that's where that story kind of erupted from. It wasn't Michael who was, giving himself advice in his past or shaping his own life. It was somebody who he didn't know, who claimed to know him from the future, who claimed to be giving him all this advice for the life that he said that he wanted. And I just found that quite fascinating for, I think, especially when we are at that young, early 20s, we can think we want X, Y, and Z out of our life. And I know I certainly wanted, to have the career and have the, career success. And this is what I thought was going to go. But actually, when you get that, is it worth it? Is it actually
Yeah.
something else that you need in your life as well? So that's where that kind of time loop came from.
Okay. So you weren't interested in like time travel kind of stuff before that, or is it just it was just through your writing of the
I think I was, and I didn't realize it.
was
So
it, yeah.
any kind of stories like that, and it was mostly through visual media, so through TV and through movies, I would really, really enjoy those plots. But I didn't realize at the time that I
Yeah.
was actually a sci-fi time travel junkie. I just knew I
Aye.
liked kind of stories. One of the ones I loved when I was a kid, you remember it from the UK, is Good Night, Sweetheart, with
Oh
what's
yes,
her
I
name?
love it. I have the box
Yes.
set. I have the box set.
Yeah. I loved watching that when I was a kid. I just loved seeing that element of the different lives. They had a much more comedic tone to it, but I just thought it was brilliant, and they touched on a little bit of being able to move things between timelines
Yeah.
for financial gain, and for knowing things about the past to help save people in wartime UK and things like that as well. So so all those ideas are always at the back of my head.
Do you remember a series called Crime Traveller at all?
Traveler, no.
Okay, well that was another there was I guess regarding sci-fi there was a series called Red Dwarf and there was a character in that. And played by an actress called Chloe Arnett, and also a guy from EastEnders, Nick French, I think his name was. And was it they did a series called, Crime Traveller, where they were able to go back in time. A crime would happen, and so they would go back in time before the crime started, and actually find the clues before it happened to actually to arrest them and stuff like that. And that was something that kind of interested me as well, because,
Very good.
and that was in the 90s as well. But for me, was it, obviously I don't see my t-shirt that well, but was it, I was a massive, huge Doctor Who fan from a child. And that's how I really got into the old business of time travel and stuff like that. But also I remember seeing the old movie. I know there's the book, I've read the book as well, but was it H.G. Wells, The
Time Machine, yes.
That's the one, yep.
I have that here on my shelf.
Oh, very good.
I
cool.
haven't read it yet, but it's on my to-be-read, my be-read list, yeah.
So that was another one that I really, really loved. And in fact, actually, I wrote a story for Christmas with some of my favourite authors, with Charles Dickens, Doyle,
yeah,
H.G. Wells, Agatha Christie. And I actually had Agatha Christie in the Mystery Murdered, and was it Dickens and Doyle become their respective characters, kind of like Sherlock Holmes and Inspector Bucket, and they go and try and solve the mystery, and there's a twist at the end which I won't talk about, but yeah, because I love, you know, I love, you know, that kind of thing in regards, you know, murder mystery and stuff like that. So my actual character, Benny O'Caffrey, is somebody that travels through time and solves mysteries and stuff. And that's one of the things that got me excited in regards when I wanted to write, and the character I wanted to create was somebody that loved Doctor Who and who loved Sherlock. And so basically,
yeah.
That was another thing as well. In regards to characters, how much of you do you put in them?
Yeah, I was just going to say that exact same thing to you, do you know, because we do sometimes project these things into our characters, either knowingly or unknowingly as well. And it can be something quite fun. And it can also, I think, be something a little bit dangerous to tangle up in, purely from... I was once read in those How to Write books. I remember reading advice saying, don't ever base characters off of other people that you know. You know, just kind of have that rule. So I've always stuck to that rule that I will never use people in, you know, my life as inspiration. Because once you kind of maybe take one little thing or a few little things, people will then start to look for other clues and think, is that character about me? And does she think that of me? Does she, that's how I behave? And before you know it, you can be down, digging your own grave.
Well, thankfully for me, the inspirations I took, actually, my actual friends that I took some of the inspirations from actually were very positive about it, and they were quite happy with it. And actually, they felt, they felt flattered that actually that's what I did. So
that's what you did.
So
here's the thing, though. It's the other people in your life that you haven't based characters on will then start questioning things. So they'll know, Benny used so-and-so and so-and-so, so is this other person me? And it might not be at all, and it's probably not, but people can sometimes get paranoid like that. So,
well, that's the thing. Do people need to kind of think, oh, is this all about me and stuff like that?
Exactly.
it's just fiction. You know, as I say, regardless you're saying about inspiration and stuff like that and using yourself, now, I have to admit that I'm slightly guilty of that in a lot of ways, because my actual podcast and my writing, as I talk about, the is a therapy for me.
Yeah.
And it's the actual podcasts are centered around, obviously, the bit about journey to recovery and, you know, writing back to happiness, and about, you know, gaining kind of, obviously, that recovery from any kind of mental health issues or struggles that we've had. And so my very first story, The Doctor That Time Forgot, actually was making me the Doctor, and I was basically in Doctor Who. They have a storyline where the Doctor can put his kind of soul or whatever about him into a watch and become human and totally human, and doesn't doesn't remember any of all of that. And so I got one of the evil characters to do that to me and then put me with my family that I grew up with,
Yes.
and said that actually they weren't my real family. They were, I was put there by this evil man. I'm really the doctor and all that kind of stuff. And it helped me deal with a lot of the actual kind of trauma and pain and stuff that I went through as a child. And that's what my writing is a lot about, is dealing with that kind of stuff and finding ways to deal with that. And so I guess my next question is, in regards to your writing, have you ever used your writing as part of therapy for you in that degree?
Probably not as deep as that. Probably I've used my writing as therapy in the sense that writing and reading has been some sort of escapism,
Yeah,
and it
even
was a
that's what I'm
hobby.
saying. Yeah.
Yes, and it was something that was mine, and something that I was able to take the time for myself. Like I said, I started writing when I was 30, so my kids were 2 and a newborn. So over those first few years was very busy and hectic in my house, and I
I
just
can
remember
understand
being
that.
able to, sometimes only take 10 minutes a night to do something that I felt was productive for my own growth, and then to, at the end of it have, something tangible that I could hold, print out and hold in my hands and think, okay, this is what I've done and this is what I've achieved, and constantly trying to learn and make better and refine the craft for me was as much of a break and an escapism. While doing a hobby I could still do at home that didn't take me out of the house, that didn't require having to leave, for hours at a time. It was something that I could do whilst minding the kids and whilst working, that kind of gave me that little bit of time. I think there would have been a couple of little things that would have seeped into the characters that would have been similar to me. And I think just a way of maybe expressing maybe some ideas or some desires, from, I think, to try and make a character interesting, it's hard to do it in a way that maybe you personally don't find interesting. So
Yeah.
what a character wants out of life, I think, like we said earlier, parts of Michael could have actually been reflected in me from when I was younger, and I thought life was all about, getting the career and having,
Yeah.
success and financial success from that, and being at the top of your field, and that was what defined success and happiness. And then, because my career didn't take off, I had went to university and got a degree and got a master's degree, and I've never ever used them in practice. So there probably was some of that switching around. I realized, that it was about family life, and it
Yeah.
was about being, content in that family role, with your kids. It didn't necessarily mean that you have to be earning a lot of money. So seeing that switch in Michael,
Right.
was a probably a reflection of that switch in me as well.
For me, in regards writing, you say you started kind of late and stuff like that. When I was a kid and stuff, I had terrible handwriting and such, and so writing anything down, you needed some kind of interpretation to read it back. And so it was good for me when technology became available. I mean, I actually wrote my very first story when I at college doing a college degree to get me into university. I wrote a murder mystery about my boss murdering my boss off. And I worked for a
I
bit.
bet you that got some attention.
Well, yeah, it was a boss that I had at a well-known natural store that doesn't actually exist anymore, unfortunately. But was it? She wasn't a great person to me, and it was also one of the reasons for my mental health issues, I guess. But and so I wrote that on an electric typewriter, and I have it written somewhere. But was it my real first? Like you say, once I had my actual breakdown. As an escape on my phone, I decided to write the doctor that time forgot and that as a therapy and stuff. And you talked about, was it having time, taking 10 minutes here or whatever and stuff like that. It was the same kind of thing for me. I wrote little bits and then came back and did a little bit more and added up to a bigger story. And that's how I developed.
Yeah,
And
absolutely. I actually
I
seen I seen a tweet there last night, and it was talking about somebody who works full time and they write full time as well. And I think they were kind of giving out a little bit to people that are writers, and if they don't write 5, 6, 7,000 words a day, then you can't call yourself a full-time writer. And it was actually Neil Gaiman that had commented and said he wrote Coraline at 50 words per day, and
Yeah.
it's not about being able to type out words, and it's about being able to progress a story and go back and edit it and make it the best that it is. It's not about getting fast. It's about getting something not only good quality, but I think something that you love and that you believe in. Because we as authors have to stand by our work. We have to present it to the world and say this is good enough. So it has to be something that you love as well.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the thing. My writing. The more I did it, the more I enjoyed it, and I guess also I was quite brave in the fact that when I would do a little piece, I would then share it with friends and such. And what would happen would be, I guess because of my Doctor Who background and watching Doctor Who, as a child, they had. They reached a certain point where it would become a cliffhanger. And so my writing became that kind of writing where I would actually leave it at a cliffhanger type moment and then send it out. And then somebody would go, oh, you can't leave it there. You've got to write. And so encourage you to go and write some more. And so you'd go to another. And so it'd get to
Brilliant.
each and do that. And that's how my writing progressed. And it's just something I've fully grown and fallen in love with in regards, as it is what it says, writing back to happiness. It is where I'm in my it's my happy place. And like I say, time travel, I gave it that extra tag of journey to recovery. I guess because it's a play in words as well, because it's like journey to discovery, but turn discovery to recovery. And it just really this is part of my life and my recovery, writing and such. Did anyone, not you, but somebody else, that might have inspired your characters or plots? You talked about actually, inspiring somebody you know and stuff like not doing that, but is there.
I think it was more feedback from other people that inspired definitely the characters for me. I fall in love with people and I fall in love with characters. And when I read a story, I'm a character-driven reader. So I need to love the people I'm reading about, and then I want to hear about their stories. So for me, it was about developing characters that felt real, that weren't just the story on the page. They had a backstory, whether I told that backstory or not. It was ways that parts of everybody's lives can leak into different conversations as well. So I wanted that to be real. And I remember one specifically, and I was so glad you started the interview talking about Stella, who is in book two, because when I first started writing, I joined a workshop, which I absolutely love. It's an online workshop called scribophile.com. I don't get paid for it, but I advertise it everywhere because I absolutely love it. It's a free workshop website for writers that are beginning out, amateur writers, people that are published already, and it really gives you help and support from the writer community. And the kind of idea of that website is you would upload a couple of chapters, you would work with a group or maybe one-on-one and swap your stories around and help each other with your stories. So you would read their chapters, they would read yours, you would give honest and kind but helpful feedback on things that you maybe didn't like or things that you could see an author was trying to make a point, but it wasn't quite hitting the spot. So that you were learning, you know, and learning from each other. And one of the girls, she had read the whole book, and she made a comment. The first book that I had wrote was about Michael and Audrey, and the support characters in that were friends called David and Stella. And they made a comment about Stella, who was a young mother, I think at the time. In book one, I think I had around about the age of 23 or 24, and she had a 3-year-old child. And her backstory throughout for that book was that she had grown up in a very affluent family in Hollywood. Had lots of money, and her father had died. Her mother had fallen into the bottle, and she was now a single mother herself, looking after her mother. And somebody said, God, she moans an awful lot. And I thought, no, she doesn't. And I got really defensive. And there was only one time I remember writing a scene where she was just telling Michael that she was just tired. You know, she was just fed up. And I think I got defensive because at that time,
Next time on part two of the interview.
Is where we had kind of left off. And I just remember being taking it so personally, and that's where I realized there was a little bit of Stella in me in that, because at the time my son was 3 years old and Stella's son was 3 years old. London is where everybody lives, where this is our technology and food are, and the soldiers. People ran there at the start of the war looking for salvation, responding to rumors of safe water and medical care. What they didn't realize was the government was culling the population. London was safe, but they were never allowed to leave.
And much, much more from Writing Back to Happiness. Time Travel, The Journey to Recovery.